Check, check.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're both being recorded then.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can air our grievances.
It is, this is early Festivus.
okay, so I'm just gonna, no preamble. I'm just gonna kick into the rant. Is that even an appropriate word to associate with anything that I ever say? The frustration.
Right? Are you gonna, you're not gonna talk about sound effects in comics, right?
I am going to talk about cartoons, but you know, it's like when I talk about like the word rant, I think that's a really strong word. And this reminded me of the other day, somebody actually apologized for swearing in front of me, which just made that guy was hysterical. It was so funny. I was like, and then the worst part was, is that I said to them, my response was, "Hey, it's okay. I know people use bad words." And I'm telling the story. I'm telling the story to Anne. And she says, "Did you really say bad words?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "What are you, 12? Like, maybe.
But, oh man.
Anyway, yeah, so like when I think about like, well, I'm gonna rant, it's gonna be pretty gentle by most people's definition of the word rant. But okay, earnestness, this is a topic that I've beaten on 100 times, but it's something that I think nobody will be surprised to hear me have any kind of sense of passion and enthusiasm for. I'll pull out an old story. I'm listening to NPR. This is like maybe 2002, on my commute to work when I was working in a day job as a graphic designer. And they're talking about this. They're interviewing this guy who wrote a book on John Locke. Do you remember this story?
I do not.
Good. Then, like, okay, if you don't remember it, then that means probably anybody listening won't remember it.
Okay.
So they're interviewing this guy, and he wrote a book on John Locke, the Revolutionary War era philosopher. And this guy's like, he's just a dynamo about talking about this guy. And after they interview him, and he says all these different things about why the book is so interesting, why it was so much fun for him to work on, they say, "Thank you for your time." And he ends the interview by saying, "Thank you, and I love talking about John Locke." And when that interview concluded, now I don't even remember the guy's name. Mm-hmm. I suppose I could look it up. But when that interview concluded, I'm in the car, and I'm like, that's how I want to feel about everything. That guy has it unlocked. He gets it. He loves something so completely and so earnestly, and he owns that love, and he doesn't apologize for being excited about it, right? But unfortunately, we live in a world where people crave interactions, but the one sin, the one big no-no is to not know about something, right? Mm. I don't want to use the word ignorance, but to not understand or fully grok or comprehend something is the one unforgivable sin. And to admit that in public is the most shameful act. So when they engage with somebody, they default to cultural assumptions about the thing. Case in point. Or, you know, and let me finish my headline before I get into the case in point. So what this leads to, I think, is a general sense of disbelief that one can love earnestly. Now I'll use my case in point, and you can tell me if I'm completely bonkers. Sitting there, I'm in public, and I'm drawing on my tablet. And I'm drawing a cartoon character that I love. Because what else am I going to draw but things that I love? And somebody leans over, stranger, leans over and is like, "What are you drawing there?" I'm like, "Oh, it's a cartoon character from this thing." And I don't explain it very much. I'm like, "You probably wouldn't have heard of it. It was this, you know, kind of out-of-the-way thing from the 80s. And they're like, "Oh, explain it to me." And I'm like, "Well," and I explain the concept of the story and the characters and the world and everything. And I kind of say like offhand, like, "I really loved that show. I adored it. And I'm just drawn for the fun of it because I like the characters." And the guy says to me, "I remember that show. Oh, that was so dumb. It was so silly and so absurd. And all it did was teach kids to be mindless consumers. And yeah, am I right? And he's like soliciting me to get in on this indictment. On this thing that I just said I really loved. Now, I run into this all the time. You know, anybody who's followed the show for a long time has heard me do, like, the 5 things to learn from cartoon stories, you know. Well, you know my position on this.
Yeah, it's a popular episode we did of the Lean Into Art cast. It's an awesome one. We should revisit that sometime, by the way.
Okay.
I like doing popular episodes.
Actually, I've got an idea for an episode on what the superhero secret identity means, to decode that a little bit. And it's based on a discussion I had on the Comics Are Great show, but we'll table that for a future.
Totally podcast. Table. I don't want to derail this.
But My point is that I run into this all the time, and I've documented this on different podcasts, in different blog posts. I run into this all the time, people saying, oh, it doesn't hold up or whatever, or to be dismissive. And I go, oh, whenever that happens. And, oh, I've made my counterpoint of, like, what do you mean it doesn't hold up? Holds up to what? But as I've been, you know, as I do my best to say, you know, what would Rob do? he would exercise compassion. And, okay, let's be compassionate. This person is just a human after all. This person who was looking at me drawing wanted to interact with me, wanted a connection of some sort. They wanted engagement of some kind. They didn't understand what I was doing. They didn't understand what I was drawing. So they rifle through their mind. Okay, cultural assumptions about kids' cartoons. Oh, most people say, boy, Wonder Woman's invisible plane. How does that even work? Am I right? Superman's cape. How come it doesn't get caught on things? Am I right? Right? Like whenever we see Dave Chappelle or any comedian up there making jokes about this stuff, that seems to be in the cultural zeitgeist. So they default to that because they don't know. It never – and what bothers me is it never occurred to this person, and it never occurs to a lot of people, 9 out of 10 that I talk to, that maybe, just maybe, when I look at that thing, I just love it for what it is, right? That's an impossible thing. That's incomprehensible. That's a fourth dimensional object that I cannot see with my mind's eye. And so I'm going to default to the cultural stereotype. I'm going to try to have that connection with you and get you to smile at me by denigrating the thing that you just told me that you loved, right? And what bothers me about it is this pervading sense that being genuinely enthusiastic and, as you said just before we started recording, overtly passionate is off-putting to a lot of people. And I'm mad about it, Rob.
And what's funny is I do feel that intentionally or not, we marginalize each other all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it feels weird when you express, you know, some interest in something and, you know, you may expect, someone who's even known you a long time to express that same kind of interest, but maybe, you know, maybe they don't. That can feel awkward.
It's not the fact that they're not as interested. I don't care if they're interested in it. I don't care if they like it or don't. Mm-hmm. What bothers me is the inability to understand that when I say I love it, I just love it. For instance, I met a guy years ago, this is a decade ago, who made furniture. And this was, I didn't know much about people like, you know, artisan furniture making or furniture making as art. I was very young. This would be like 20 years ago now that I think about it. So I was just a kid. And I did not know how to talk with that person. I did not default to the, what, do you make rocking chairs or what? You know, I didn't default to that, but I was just confused. I was like, what do you mean you make furniture? And I felt dumb asking that because he clearly had a lot of passion about making furniture. And he was one of those people who was an artist who makes like the games is, right? He thinks of furniture as a design problem and seeks to solve it. Mm-hmm. But I don't really care much about furniture. I don't think about it that much. It's not that I don't like it. It's just I don't think about it. It's a utility that I have in my house. But to this guy, it was something that was a point of passion. And my instinct was not to say, well, as long as you can sit on it, whatever, right? My instinct was to say, well, I don't get it. What do you mean, furniture? And maybe I looked like a dummy in that situation. But at least I was having a conversation with the man to better understand what made him excited, even if I wasn't terribly excited about it. Does that make sense? Am I saying things?
It's a great strategy that, I mean, oftentimes in my younger years, you're so funny, like pointing out the, old Rob understands and really does care about trying to understand other people and what motivates them and just trying to see things through other perspectives. It's not just something I do professionally. I really feel like I'm somehow connecting with the world in a way that makes me less dumb. Right.
I'm here to say, listeners, leaners who are listening to this, I can vouch for this. This is how he talks about everything, whether or not the recording button has been pushed.
I don't even know what you're saying, but let's see. So, where were you getting at? So so empathy, right? I mean, that's one thing. So I remember what you described as far as not quite understanding that, you know, the back, like the furniture making sound so different, right? And maybe, you know, not having the perspective that, well, making is in a way making, right?
Right.
And there's a ton of connections that are possible if you're into making something also.
Right.
But not being there yet, all of a sudden it feels like, okay, alien disconnect. And a lot of people wouldn't, you know, I've been in that position also where I'm like, well, I feel dumb. I don't know what to do. Right. So I might just bust out a, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's neat. You're doing a thing. I really believe that, but I don't know where the heck to take this conversation. And especially younger Rob would do that a lot.
Yeah. Sure. And that's what happened in the situation I'm talking about. It's like, it was a very uncomfortable, awkward conversation where I didn't know what to take because I didn't know how to talk to people very well. I mean, I still don't, but I was even worse at it then. But at least I'll give myself credit for not turning it into some kind of flippant remark about some kind of cultural stereotype about furniture, because at least that I know. I heard Jerry Seinfeld make a joke about chairs once, and I'm going to pull that out so then I can look like I have some kind of reasonable understanding of what this person does, which is diminishing, right? It diminishes what they're doing, because instead of approaching with curiosity of tell me more, help me understand it. And I think I would assume most people would appreciate that more than you trying to look like you're clever.
Oh my God. It has exactly. It has the opposite effect. You think, oh, I am showing weakness. I am vulnerable. I am, you know, not a, I don't know what it just essentially I'm diminishing myself by showing my lack of understanding, but by actually showing that you don't understand in a caring way, other people want to be understood. Right.
Yep.
And they probably will want to explain some aspect of what the heck of the thing they care so much about to invest so much of their time into it.
Let's go back to my story because it's all about me, right? Of me drawing.
It is.
And that guy talked to me. that guy talking to me. And let's operate under the assumption he was craving some kind of interaction with me.
Ah, sure. Like he was just, that was his rough draft. It just was a bad draft, you know?
Yeah. Now, let's say he asked me the question, what's so great about that show and that toy line that you're drawing them? What do you like best about them? What's the one big thing I would need to know if I wanted to go look it up on YouTube today? What do you think would be the response he would get out of me? I would probably blast him back into his seat with a bunch of just, you know, like 75 decibels of, oh my gosh, this is awesome, and this is awesome, and this is awesome about it. And maybe I'd come on too strong, which I have been guilty of doing. But that would be a different, I would suddenly open up to this person. Instead, what happened was I turned a little bit, like 20 degrees away from that person, and kind of went, and just continued drawing and disengaged from them entirely. Yeah. And, you know, and I could tell the guy was a little uncomfortable by that change of attitude. But, you know, I was done.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. We're all human. And that's fine. I mean, he owes you nothing. You owe him nothing in that, in that circumstance. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, some days I look at it as like, I have the capacity to, you know, just kind of, well, I've been in, I've been riding the bus because of, I have a new day job. Right. And, so I'm running it and I have not ridden the bus for a many, many years. Right. And, pretty much forgot what that whole experience is like. And anyway, so I've had a couple of the, like just one in particular awkward situation on a bus, which I hear people who ride the bus will get, you know, collect these stories. I don't have a lot to say about it other than like a dude saw I was writing on my, what's funny, is it the Galaxy Note? Maybe that's it. Because what I was writing on that thing and, you know, it was one of those, hey, so you like that thing?
Yeah.
Questions. And which is cool that it's a question. It's instead of like, yeah, those are dumb or whatever. But I really didn't feel like engaging. You know what I mean? Because I'm in the midst of creating something.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like being on stage creating it. Right. I mean, heck, I do podcasts. I well, you know, once upon a time I will, and you know, from time to time, I'm sure I will again stream stuff like that. Right. So I'm saying, look at me, like making something. Right. But right. That's not true all the time. So sometimes we're just not in the same mind space and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know. I'm saying the obvious. I'd like to say the obvious, I guess. There you go.
It's called being explicit, which you have never.
Holy crap. I do that. Yeah.
No, I totally get you. Yeah. Like you, when you're writing, that is not a gregarious act. And just because you're on public transit does not mean that you are performing in public. Right. But I totally get it. You know, the Galaxy Note is a new-ish device. It's not something you see in the wild a whole lot.
Right.
So I can see why somebody would be like, oh, this guy's drawing with a pen. He's writing on a thing like natural handwriting. That's
not paper.
That's not paper. Yeah. What's that all about? I'm curious. And this may be the only chance I get to ask somebody who actually owns one what it's like. I get it.
Yeah. And so some of that could be I'm just at heart, I'm a boy who grew up in the suburbs and everyone had, you know, stood 10 arms lengths from each other for, you know, whatever. Anyway, but yeah, so let's get back to your story. So you mentioned earnestness.
Yes.
And you mentioned, actually, you kind of came at it from a couple of angles on earnestness where, I mean, sometimes, what is that? What causes that perspective in us where we can both be proponents of being really passionate about something, yet have the self-conscious uh-oh to it, where, is it because we see people wither sometimes when you unleash the earnestness and your passion for a topic? I don't know.
I know we've talked about this before and probably on an extra lean, but when I've had situations where I have to, I make a mental note to dial it back because, the specific story was, I was having coffee with my Thursday morning coffee group, which are not artists. There's like a couple, there's creative types, but they're different from different creator disciplines, which is really cool. They're a fun group of guys to hang out with. And one of them, somehow they got on the topic of G.I. Joe. And and there I am, my ears are going, doo-loo-loo-loo-loo. And one of them says, like, boy, it's too bad that G.I. Joe and Transformers never crossed over. And I jumped in and said, oh, contrary, as a matter of fact, in season 3, there was an episode called Only Human where Rodimus Prime gets turned into a human by virtue of this process called Synthoids, which was actually a Christy Marks episode of G.I. Joe, season 2, the Synthoids conspiracy, where Cobra Commander made these things called Synthoids, which are like synthetic people. And then it turns out that the guy who turned Rodimus Prime into a human was actually Cobra Commander at the end of the episode. And by that moment, I looked around and everybody's eyes were glazed. They're like, this is too, we don't care about that trivia. What they cared about was, did it happen or didn't it happen? Was it cool? Wasn't it cool? I didn't bullet point it for him. Mm. I got too excited about like the minutia of, oh, and what was really great about that episode was that when Robert Pine got turned into a human, he found this suit of clothing that was the exact color scheme of his Autobot form, which doesn't make any sense, but it's actually really, from a design standpoint, it's really kind of neat. You know, mm-hmm. Nobody cares. So I've seen it happen where the thing that makes me, you know, intellectually insane, like drives me, lights me on fire, is of little interest to anybody else. So, yeah, you have to temper that kind of thing. There's a time and place for that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, true. Very true.
So I think that that's probably where part of that comes from, is why we can be like really into something, but also know that there's a right time and a wrong time to pull those cards out. So when this guy asked me about what I was drawing on that thing, I wasn't like, oh, it's this really cool show that I've loved ever since I was a little kid and blah, 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 blah. I just went, oh, it's a show I really like. Ball's in your court. Are you interested in learning more? Ask me. If not, you get to say, oh, cool. And no harm, no foul. I'll go back to drawing. You can go back to sipping your coffee or whatever you're doing over there, right? Mm-hmm. But don't say, oh, here's the cultural currency I'll play. Isn't that thing that you love silly? Because that's what I heard other people say. And this makes me sound like I'm knowledgeable about it. There, we've got a connection. And the fact that this is where I'm trying to be compassionate about this thing and saying, I don't think the guy was intentionally trying to attack me. Mm-hmm. I think he was trying to engage with me. But he was engaging with a form of currency that is not legal tender in my country. It came out of, I think, a desire to connect without the the knowledge to feel like he can engage in any kind of confident way.
Sure.
And he's certainly not going to claim ignorance. He's not going to say, tell me more, because like you pointed out, that makes you feel weak. I'm vulnerable. I don't know. You know more about this than I do, and now I have to defer to your knowledge on the thing. So I got to come off as feeling knowledgeable.
Or, right? I mean, another angle on it, it could be just the playful sparring, right? Because you get to you get to dodge that, but for a different reason, where it's like,
But at the same time, Rob, I mean, the playful sparring, I think that is, we've talked a lot on the main show about cultural, tribal values, right? This is the language you use in this tribe. This is the language you use in that tribe. Mm-hmm. If you're not even in my tribe yet, don't try to play tribal values with me. Right?
Oh, yeah. Making that call, I think it's awesome to I think it's a natural product of really caring a lot about making things and then like somehow refining them and getting into design thinking and all that where, yeah, I mean, you can't please everybody and you just say, well, whatever. This situation's out of bounds. You know, have a good day. I'm going to go back to my drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really what happened. And it kind of stuck with me all day, not where it was like eating at me, but it just, the takeaway was, and that's what this show is supposed to be, is like our weekly takeaways. The takeaway was, isn't it a shame that earnestness is the anomaly? And it's to the point where it's such an anomaly that it doesn't even enter people's minds when they meet one another that when somebody says they like something, that they could mean that they really like it. Another case in point is that I was at a mixed group of different creative people months ago, and someone, I don't know if you know this, Rob, but like I'm a huge, huge fan of the Robin Williams Popeye movie from 1980.
I do recall this.
Okay. Yes. And it's you know, looking Rotten Tomatoes, it's been panned by everybody. It's considered to be a terrible, terrible movie, but I love it for a lot of reasons, which we can go into another time. But there was in this mixed group of different creative people, and somebody mentions like, oh, the Popeye movie is so good. And I thought to say, and I don't know if this is a bad thing or a good thing, but I said, when you say that, do you mean it like ironically that it's good, or do you mean it like you really genuinely love it? Because I need to know that before I say what I'm going to say next. And he's like, no, I really love it. And then boom, suddenly again, I just blossomed. Like, oh my gosh, this part and this part and this part is so great. I love that movie so much, you know. And then he was right there with me, right? But had he said, oh no, I just love it because it's so bad, it's good. Then I go,
did you guys
okay.
Just dance in a whir and then merge in a ball of light? I mean...
And the whole time, patriotic music was playing. Da, 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 da.
No, I did. That's cool. I could have sworn, yeah, anyway, that you joked about that very kind of situation. I didn't know like that was that actually happened where you met someone who was totally on the same page with that movie. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And but, you know, it's like at least in that situation, I was ready to accept multiple possibilities, not, oh, he must mean that it's so bad it's good. I'm going to play that card. Like, yeah, you know that part when Robin Williams did such and such? Oh, my gosh, it was so awful. I loved it. You know, I at least thought to ask first before I made any further engagement, right? Mm-hmm. Asking, you know, earnestness and asking are the two things that I ask. I would request more humans try. Because you know what you get? You know what you get?
What do you get?
Rob's trying to cut me off, everybody.
I was making a signal like that's it. You did it. No, you ended the episode this time. You did it.
No, because here's the one to grow on.
All right.
What you get if you express things more earnestly and you ask more questions is you get genuine human interactions.